Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
As we prepare our hearts and our minds for the word from God today, I have a quick question. How many of you have heard that scripture before? Show of hands. Okay, a lot of people. Okay, so let's pray so we don't approach the scripture as if we know the scripture already. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly God, we gather on this day to begin a week of contrasts, from hope to despair and to hope again. As we begin this week, we join with the crowd. Help us cut through the noise to see what is happening, to see what is at stake. As this story unfolds, open us to both the hope and the pain. In this worship, O God, prepare us to celebrate. Prepare us to be convicted. Prepare us to wait for your spirit to move. May the words of my mouth and the very meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yes, before we believe that we know the text that is before us today, I want us to take some time and read it a bit slower, to go through verse by verse, if you will. It starts in verse 39 by saying, "One of the criminals." So what is his crime? We're not sure exactly what the crime is, but crucifixion wasn't just for any old crime. It was for enemies of the state who needed to be made an example of. Probably other Jewish agitators like Barabbas, the one who rebelled against the Romans and who the Jews chose to set free in order to save a cross for Jesus. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him. I guess you could expect that from the Romans, right? You would expect that the Romans, considering this person a poor Jewish person who thought he could stand up to the Roman Empire, would deride him. But would you expect that from the Jews as well? Why kick a man when he's down? And now this criminal. It's incredible how nasty we can be when we're convinced that those who are suffering alongside us are somehow worse off than we are. We've seen political elites kind of use this tactic to divide and conquer, even in America, telling poor whites, "You may be poor, but at least you're not black." You always need a scapegoat, right? When you're trying to secure your own power, the weak are pretending to be strong because they know that there is true strength in unity, and they don't want that. And so it worked here, since Jesus came to save this man, but he is convinced that Jesus is somehow worse off than he is. This criminal, the one on the right, if you will, if you want to choose a side, he says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." As Pastor Ken was teaching and reminding us, it takes a lot of pain and effort for you to get the energy, for you to get even the breath to say anything at all. And this is what this man chooses to say. He chooses to deride Jesus, to mock him. "Are you not the Messiah? Okay, so you know that he is the Messiah, right? Or at least you've heard someone say that. You've heard of Jesus before. So what happened? Why didn't you believe the message? Were the parables too confusing? I know the parables can be quite confusing. Was the call too radical? Well, maybe not for this guy, right? This guy is willing to stand up against the Roman Empire. Maybe it's not too radical for him. I mean, I wonder if Jesus wasn't radical enough for him. I mean, after all, this is the turn the other cheek guy. This is the forgive 70 times 7 guy. I mean, if he really had power, he wouldn't be on a cross, right? So if he says, so then he goes to Jesus and he says, okay, Mr. Big Time Messiah, save yourself if you're so good, and save us too. The arrogance of this guy. And if he is entitled, and he approaches this as if he's entitled to it, he's a criminal. Cross or not, let's recognize that we are in the presence of greatness, right? This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he has hung beside at this time. He doesn't deserve to be so close to Jesus. He's a criminal. And the worst part is, he thinks he's right. And how many other people did he convince along the way that he was right? How many other people see him as some sort of martyr choosing his side instead of Jesus? His whole life, apparently, is built on accepting a lie. Even Pilate knew that Jesus shouldn't be on that cross, but his fellow Jews missed it. Because in their eyes, the true power of the Messiah is in military might. It's very much what Christian nationalism wants us to believe. But Christian nationalism fails, it falls short because it always seeks a kingdom without a cross, victory without mercy, and it claims God's love of power rather than the power of God's love. So Jesus is showing true power here. He doesn't realize it, but that's exactly what Jesus is doing. It's what we call prevenient grace. It's the grace that goes before we even realize it. Jesus is dying for him. He just doesn't know it yet. And how does Jesus choose to respond to him deriding him? With silence. Not a word. God's grace is enough. So verse 40 says, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Again, a man who is putting himself through pain just to get a breath deep enough to say these words, and he uses this breath to defend an innocent man. And we indeed have been condemned justly, he says, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. This man is convicted, not in a judicial sense. He's convicted to the heart. He realizes and owns up to his mistakes. This is true repentance. And so then in verse 42, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay, so he's obviously heard about Jesus as well. And I'm hoping that he's also heard of Jesus' teachings. But apparently those teachings were not so strong that they weren't so strong that they were that they could keep him from becoming a criminal. But a seed was certainly planted there. And here the Spirit of God is giving the growth to that seed. Do you see the humility? It reminds me of Peter, who recognized that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus says to him, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It was the Spirit of God. This is what we call justifying grace. It's the grace that allows us to believe that only God can make things right, and the assurance that God does that for us through Jesus Christ. It's being reconciled, being in right relationship to God, and it's a grace that God gives to us. Because this is all about grace. And because this is all about grace, he, Jesus, replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And at this point, you may be wondering, what would you do in this situation? Well, you probably won't ever be hung on a cross. So maybe not in this situation exactly, but when you come to the end of your life, or when you come to the end of yourself, as quickly as that can come sometimes, if you're considering being like one criminal or the other, I would invite you to consider this. Jesus is offering the other criminal paradise. The word paradise here is meant to remind us of the garden. You remember being in the garden, right? Being in Genesis, that space where God's heavenly space and our earthly space overlapped, and humans lived with God and God with us. And in that garden, you might remember that there was a choice that presented itself in a pair of trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And spoiler alert, we didn't make the right choice. And throughout Scripture, we are continuously presented with a choice. Abraham could choose to trust God or not. Moses, when he presents the law to the Israelites, he says that today I am presenting life or death. Joshua says that he is also presenting a choice. But as for me and my house, we know what we're choosing. We will serve the Lord. Today we have that same choice. Jesus is presenting us that same choice between the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Jesus is presenting us that same choice between God's way and our own way. Jesus is our tree of life, allowing himself to die and to be buried like a seed in order that he might become the true vine and invite us to be the branches. And being the vine, he is the only one in the New Testament who promises paradise. So if it's a choice between the criminal on the right, this is my right, your right. If it's a choice between being the criminal on the right or the other criminal, maybe you should just be like Jesus. What does it mean to be like Jesus? It means making the right choice, like Jesus did, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You have to be obedient, obedient unto death. It's the same choice that Jesus was faced with when he was in the wilderness, when the devil tempted him multiple times, and he made the right choice. He chose the path that God has called us to. This word, paradise, is the same word that Paul uses when he talks about being called up into heaven but not knowing whether he's in the body or out of the body. Who knows? How would Paul know? It's the same word that Paul uses, and it's And I believe it's the same thing that inspires Paul to call us to obedience, obedience even unto death. Because I recognize, and I feel like Christ is calling us to recognize, that true power is not vengeance. True power is not what they originally thought the Messiah ought to be. It's not punishment. It's not passive aggression even. It's not keeping a record of wrongs. True power is showing grace and mercy. And we often equate humility with weakness, and we equate arrogance with strength. But as Jesus demonstrates here, that includes giving grace to everyone. True strength is the ability to give grace to all, not just the repentant criminal, but the criminal on the right as well, but not just him, but everyone there who is deriding him. As Pastor Ken taught us, Christ said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." You should be willing to give all of that grace, unbounded grace, grace enough to not just respond to the arrogant, but grace enough to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Grace is not something Christ has decided to give in a moment. Scripture says that our God is full of grace, that he's full of steadfast love and faithfulness. And Christ is the embodiment of God in the world. So grace is not something that Christ decides to do in each moment based on the circumstances. Grace is something that Christ is. It's a part of Christ's character. Grace is something that everybody receives. And as Paul in his scripture in Corinthians is calling us to have the same obedience that Christ had in the Garden of Gethsemane, the same obedience unto death, he recognizes, and I recognize how difficult it is to say that I will give so much grace, regardless of what other people do, even unto death. But I thank God for God's grace, because the only way we can give this kind of grace is because of the sanctifying grace of God in our lives. The grace that is perfecting us. It's the grace that is making us more and more like Jesus, so that when we come to those situations where we have a choice, we have the opportunity to choose the way Christ did, to surrender it all to what God is calling us to do. God gives the grace for humble obedience even unto death. So today I have an opportunity to offer you a choice as well. You have the choice to leave here today, to live a life that either chooses cynicism or chooses hope. A life that chooses arrogance or chooses humility. A life that demands or a life that confesses. And Christ offers you an invitation as well. Christ our Lord invites us to his table. And so we have a choice. We who, like the criminal on the cross, who seek to live in peace and in harmony with one another and with God in paradise. And so we are presented with a choice. Do we choose the grace that God is pouring out to us, or do we choose our own way again?